Good afternoon. Hello, my little cacahuates. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, ArtSpeak Radio, from noon to 1 o'clock today, every Wednesday on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And we're so happy that you're here with us because we love you. And I want to say thank you so, so very much to our listeners who supported this radio station with their pledges last week to help keep this community radio alive. This is your community radio. So thank you so very much for your pledges online and your calls here in the studio. So very, very grateful because you believe in public radio. Today, I want to begin with a most unfortunate, sad note that we've lost our beautiful friend, Henry Fortunato, who passed away. He helped build the Kansas City Public Library's national reputation. He was there from 2006 to 2015. Just a very, very good and gentle person, a good friend, and as he called himself, an accidental Kansan. So rest in peace, our dear friend Henry Fortunato. We love what you've done for the city and for the community. We will very much miss you. Also, I want to mention, and Mark asked me to share this with you because, you know, these shows are just so packed full of information and news and, you know, stuff that's happening in the creative community. I want to mention that the Westwood Ensemble presents Mozart, Vivaldi, and Hendrix tonight, Wednesday, February 7th. At 7:30 p.m. at Rockhurst High School. And our good friend, Natasha, I can never remember how to say her last name. She is a member of this Westwood Ensemble. It's their first concert of 2018. It features a mix of classical favorites and modern American rock. And that happens tonight at Rockhurst High School at 9301 State Line Road. So, yeah, for more information, you can... I'm sure you'll find more information at the Rockhurst High School website. Yeah, so there you go. Now, let's turn to today's program. We've got Joe Williams, who is the founder of After Action Network. We have jewelry designer, artist Cheryl Ivo Costa, Sandy Van Tile, who's also an artist, and Joshua Smith, who's a poet. He's also known as Ghost. So we've got that in store for you this afternoon, and we're so happy that you've tuned in with us. So let's get started. I want to tell you my first guest, Joe Williams, again, is the founder of After Action Network. It's creating a new culture in the way we help today's heroes. AAN is a community network engagement platform designed to thank veterans for our freedoms and to thank you for your service to our veterans. And you know, they connect civilians and veterans to programs and services that are already provided and enjoy. So it can be yoga, art classes, integrated medicine, nutrition, equine therapy, meditation, and so on. And it helps them to get better, to get jobs and housing and all. So we're going to hear more from Joe Williams. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. We love when you're here, Joe.
Oh, thank you so much for having me again. It's a pleasure being here.
You know, since the last time you were here on ArtSpeak Radio, so much has changed. Number one, the name of your organization,
yep.
First off. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we had a little change up with everything that we were doing. You know, we were focusing heavily on getting veterans into art programs and helping provide education, career, and hobby and therapeutic resources in the arts. And over the past few years of us operating this, we kind of, you know, started understanding that it wasn't just, you know, art that veterans were wanting to get into. It was a lot of resources outside of traditional VA care that they wanted to get into. So we started getting more into, once again, like you were saying earlier, with the yoga classes, the equine classes, and, you know, things that, you know, traditionally what people already do, veterans are wanting to get into. So a big reason why we changed over to After Action Network, too, was really the outgoing support from the community. And that was a big thing of what we were trying to do. You know, a whole reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is because, once again, the VA is very good about isolating veterans to you know, traditional care and, you know, traditional Western medicine. And, you know, a lot of the community always came out to me and said, how can we help out a veteran? You know, and this was really the chance to do it. You know, a lot of these things you already do and enjoy. And so all we really want to do is have veterans participate with it and help veterans reintegrate back into society through whatever it is you like to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you match veterans with the desired programs and services, right? So they have to kind of go through a questionnaire or a survey or something to match up what their needs are and what organizations can help?
Yes, yes. So what we'll be actually doing in March when we launch the new website for After Action Network, basically what we do is we actually use resources that are already out there and already existing. So really we take the databases from federal agencies like the National Endowment for the Arts or the USDA or the VA, whatever it is, and when veterans or even civilians, when they get on there, they simply just fill out these questionnaire survey systems of what we have, of what they're interested in, and then we pair them up with the best programs that, you know, they want to get into, whether that's local, regional, or national. We're able to handle that kind of flux of, you know, really anything and everything of what you want to do and what you want to do to help a veteran get into.
And Joe, can we give a little backstory about how this organization came to be, how it was founded?
Yeah. So I spent 7 years in the Marine Corps. You know, I was hurt in 05 and 08, and it wasn't combat related by any means. I did spend time over Iraq in 2006. But in 2008, I had a catastrophic ankle injury that was grossly misdiagnosed. You know, in 2008, I was running the PFT for Officer Candidate School and foot locked into place. Left side of my body went numb and thought I was having a stroke. And it was one of the scariest experiences that I had. And I got sent back to Colorado where I was training Navy ROTC kids that wanted to go Marine. And, you know, I vividly remember sitting down with my orthopedic surgeon and my colonel, and, you know, basically they sat there and told me, hey, you know, your Marine Corps career is over and you'll never be able to run again. And we're not sure if you're ever going to be able to walk right again. And it sent me down into a horrible, depressive state, you know, suicidal and just a lot of different things of what's going on. And, you know, one thing that they kept doing was basically giving me an unlimited prescription to Vicodin and OxyContin and opioids, which, you know, I'm very avidly against now. You know, and when I was starting to go through my recovery efforts of, you know, adapting to being a disabled American veteran and really trying to find my place and purpose back in this world, I found art. You know, when I came back home to Kansas City, you know, I was having a really hard time adjusting. I was trying to figure out what my purpose was, what I was supposed to do and everything else. And, you know, thankfully, I got into Kansas City Art Institute, and there, and the help of my wonderful instructors there, really started diving down into really what was the issues of what was going on, of, you know, all those things that were going on in my head. And the most beautiful thing that came out of it was I really learned how to take those negative and self-destructive habits that were in my head and turn it into a positive, constructive outlet and started putting it out into my artwork. And it made life a lot easier for me. It made me a lot easier to talk with my family, to talk to the community, and to tell them about my experiences. In a way, you know, we use art as a bridge for, you know, my recovery, but also for other veterans. It's just we use these different types of arts and, you know, different types of integrated medicine really as a bridge to connect communities to veterans and veterans to communities. You know, a big thing I always get asked by individuals all the time, you know, once again, how can we help out a veteran? And, you know, it's as simple as, hey, just, you know, talk with them and learn something about it. But let's put an activity there. Let's put something in there to really that you can bond over. So once again, whether that's art or yoga or even a cup of coffee, it really doesn't matter.
Well, and based on the experience that you went through as a veteran and all that, you came out with something really beautiful to help other veterans. So we thank you for that, because I'm sure it makes a difference in so many lives, you know.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've seen a lot of transformations from veterans that come through our program and everything else. And, you know, it's just when you get out of the military, you have purpose. You have this feeling of, you know, I mean, it's, you know, life or death when you're in there, but you're fighting for the guy next to you in your fighting hole or whatever it is. And then you come back home and you really don't have that, you know, network or support structure of military active duty around you. And so it's really kind of hard to relate to, you know, civilians really about your experiences and everything else. So, you know, once again, it's for me and, you know, for other veterans, it was really just trying to introduce positive, constructive outlets in their lives.
Yeah. You know, if you just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm talking to Joe Williams, who's a veteran, a founder of the After Action Network. We're talking about this organization that is a community engagement tool, I should say. And, you know, we haven't discussed the Buy One, Vet One yet. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. So that's actually an interesting program I came up with about a year ago. And really what Buy One, Vet One is a community engagement tool. So with our new site that we're going to be launching here soon, you know, a big thing for me was not to be a traditional veteran nonprofit. You know, a lot of traditional nonprofits always geared towards, you know, the veteran and everything else. And really what we're taking the approach is at After Action Network is really approaching the community to participate in these activities. And the beneficiaries are really the veterans that are out there. So Buy One, Vet One, for example, you know, if you go to your local yoga place, you know, for an extra $5 or $10, we'll get a veteran into the class as well. So once again, we're translating that over into a lot of different avenues or, you know, ways that we can go about it. So whether that's a yoga class or an art class or, once again, even a cup of coffee, you know, just for an additional fee, we'll get a veteran in there. And really what our hopes are is, you know, that you can engage the veteran on a personal level and use these activities to really get to know them. And so the veteran can feel more comfortable, more welcome when he comes back home and not feel so isolated of what they're doing, but really feel like they're back to being a member of society or back to being a member of their communities or back to being a member of their families. And that's really the goal that we're trying to do is really have civilians play an active role in helping out veterans.
Well, I know that you're currently working on the website, as you mentioned, but for more information, how can people contact you? How can they find out more about what they can help you with or get someone involved?
Yeah. So you can still go to www.afteractionnetwork.org. We're always looking for partners and whoever else that wants to really kind of get involved with this. So we'll be launching our survey systems in the next few weeks. But once again, you can still find more information on that website of how to participate, how to get involved, and really what you can do to help out veterans.
Yeah. And I don't know if you're ready to announce this, but don't you have sort of a big announcement to make in coming up next month? Or am I going to, is this a spoiler for you?
It's all right. No, we'll be, we'll be having a lot of different programs that are going to be coming out in March and some other things that we're going to be doing. So come March, we're actually going to be doing our national pre-registration phase. And so really what we're going to do is send out our survey systems and, you know, really start engaging the community to get into veterans' lives and also start collecting our community database of different activities and programs and everything else of what we're doing. And later this year, we'll be launching a program out at Unity Village, 1,600-acre retreat space for veterans of what we're doing. And then also looking for something that we're going to be doing downtown that's going to be very special. You know, a big thing of President Trump signing that executive order to help veterans out of their first year. It's a program that we're going to be starting up with help with a bunch of federal agencies on what we have, but it's really trying to help, you know, first-year veterans on, you know, breaking apart those self-destructive habits and really getting into positive, constructive outlets in their lives. So, yeah, we'll have a lot of information coming out come March, a lot of national things are going on, some big companies that are getting behind it and everything else like that, too.
Because I do want to mention, although you've started it, you're the founder here in Kansas City, it's gotten really big. It's gotten a lot of attention across the country, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And so that was part of the reason that we kind of had a pause for a little bit and kind of restructure everything that we're doing and, you know, going from EVAC Art to from Operation Art into After Action Network. You know, it really kind of picked up a lot of steam here in Kansas City, but, you know, we got a lot of response actually from all over the country and really all over the world. I mean, we had veterans from Australia and Germany and Egypt, you know, wanting to participate in the programs or how they can get involved with setting up programs in their local areas of what they have. So it's something that's definitely needed. A lot of veterans out there just are giving up on the VA and that type of traditional health care, and they're really seeking these types of spiritual mindfulness and wellness being activities in their lives to really kind of supplement, you know, everything that's going on in their head. So,
well, and this is more of a grassroots approach in terms of what businesses you can work with and organizations and what they have to offer that you can pair individuals up with, right?
Yes, yes. So it's not really some of these big national companies that we're working with that are providing programs and services. It's really about the community that's providing programs and services. So, you know, once again, if you're the local coffee shop or the local yoga place or, you know, art place or whatever it is, you know, if there's something that you really want to do to help out veterans or get veterans into your classes, you know, that's where we can step in and really help out. And so that's where, you know, we asked to visit After Action Network and really tell us, you know, what you can do to help out a veteran, what program or what service or what activity you can do. So, you know, it kind of ties back into buy one, vet one. Yeah. And really, it's anything and everything that you could possibly imagine. If, you know, you have something that you think might be an interest of to a veteran, or, you know, you just wanting to participate yourself, you know, all is welcome here. And, you know, once again, it's really about getting civilians engaged in veterans' lives.
You know, I can immediately, my head is spinning with ideas. Veteran radio at KKFI. You know,
yeah, that's something I would actually love to do. You know, there's a lot of veterans that are interested in that. There's a lot of veterans getting into podcasting and, you know, doing a lot of things. And it's just, it's once again, it's just, there's so many alternative careers out there that veterans are usually afraid to take the step forward on. And, you know, usually the VA or, you know, other big veteran nonprofits really aren't there to help out veterans in those sense. But that's what we really want to do is, you know, like getting, you know, a veteran on KKFI and going through. I would absolutely
love that.
We're going
to have to talk about this more.
We will. That would actually be pretty fun.
And Joe, if you could share again the information or website or contact information with our listeners, because I know that there's people listening that really want to be a part, want to contribute to this organization, and, or have individuals in mind that they want to get involved with.
Yeah, no, definitely. So once again, After Action Network isn't just for veterans. It's for everybody that, you know, wants to feel better in their lives, that wants to feel better with integrated medicine and really kind of filling your whole being out with these things. So once again, you can check out www.afteractionnetwork.org. And, you know, we look forward to seeing you and seeing, you know, how you want to participate or, you know, what you want to get involved with.
We look forward to Veterans Radio here at KKFI. Seriously,
Joe.
You know, I would love to entertain that thought, and we'll have you back on. Keep us updated, you know, on what's happening and share any information that you want, news and information that you want.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this next coming month will be a big one for us. So
beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your service to the country and for the community. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you so much.
We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. Thank you so much for making us a priority, making us a part of your day. I just want to give out the more information about contact information with Joe Williams. His contact email is info@afteractionnetwork.org. So I just want to provide that for you. And it is on our Facebook page and the KKFI website. Next up, I want to introduce you to Cheryl Eva Acosta, who designs sculptural jewelry inspired by the cycle of life that provides a modern and innovative quality to those seeking to express their unique and venturous spirit. I can tell you that she is a 2-time Inspiration Grant recipient. She's been selected to be the Arts Casey's featured visual artist for the awards luncheon. And I can also mention that she was named as one of Women to Watch by the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art, that had an exhibition of her work and other women's work. And she also has another project ongoing, Art for a Cause. As a native of Puerto Rico, yet she's a Kansas City, Missouri resident, she has created jewelry to help with the financial relief for folks in Puerto Rico. And so we want to say welcome to you, Cheryl.
Hi, Maria. Thank you for having me
you
here
bet.
Today. And thank you for KKFI, too, as well, Art Speak Radio.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm so excited to have you on the show. You know, this is our sixth year, and I just feel like there's just so many, creative individuals in town that I'm not able to get to everyone at once, but we're glad that you're here. So, and congratulations for being named as a woman to watch in the medals, and again, with all your awards from the Arts KC Visual Artists Awards Luncheon, and you've just had a really terrific career, don't you?
Yes, I feel very blessed. I don't know where to start, honestly, but I am an artist. I make three-dimensional objects. I grew up in Puerto Rico, and I was very inspired by nature, ocean, and the environment, and also. As a kid, while I was being raised, I lived in France as well. That really shaped my inspiration. Mm-hmm. And if you see my work, it's inspired by it's very organic and raw, but at the same time, very couture-like. And that French fashion really kind of dictated and pronounced that through my work.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I see your work, immediately I want to touch it. You know, it's beautiful sculpture. It's beautiful art. It's light. It's just very organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very organic. I use a lot of different processes, and I actually, when I started making jewelry, I was probably 6 years old, and I was working out of African beads, the really tiny little ones, which was rolled out everywhere and probably drove my mom crazy. And from there, I transitioned into using macrame seeds and shell, hemp, mm-hmm. and it got to a point that I felt a little bit stuck, and I was ready to really learn the master's skills of metalsmithing, and that's when I took off and went to the U.S., actually New Mexico State University, and I got my undergrad in metalsmithing. Mm-hmm. And from there, I went to Rhode Island School of Design and learned that process of fusing fabric and copper together and kind of really pushing more the boundary of wearable sculpture mm-hmm. and fashion mm-hmm. and metalsmithing through those materials.
You know, and because even though it's metal and you know, copper and all that, it still has such a delicacy about it in your hand. And how do you achieve that?
You know, I think that's reflective of my inspiration. Corals and the environment, it's such a, if you look at a sea fan, it's such a structural form that can withstand pressures of waves, yet it's so fragile mm-hmm. out of its environment. And I want to sort of allude to that through my work, mm-hmm. that it's large and it looks maybe intimidating or it could protect you, but at the same time, it's a very delicate object. And the biodiversity in the ocean has been something that really has dictated and evoked that sense of maybe nostalgia in wanting mm-hmm. to preserve it. And me traveling to different environments, like living in New Mexico, kind of has more of that fossil-like remain than to Providence, and where it's more about survival. Then I moved to Kansas City, and my work became about life. And so that's where the cycle goes, and my environment definitely has dictated how my work feels and looks.
And I want to mention that Cheryl's fine art has been featured in international, national, and regional exhibitions, including, and again, the Kemper Museum. That was just a beautiful exhibition. Also, you've been shown, your work's been shown at the Georgia Museum, SOFA, Chicago, Wayne Art Center, Sarasota Art Center, and internationally.
Yeah, I think my work has probably traveled more than I have. I'm a little bit envious, but grateful. Yes, actually, and right now, so the Kemper Show was just something I've always excited that to know that the Kansas City area is supporting local mm-hmm. artists and especially women, because I think it's we're kind of undermined a little bit. We're not as represented. So it's good to see that support. And then I got this letter, which I'll tell you really quickly, but first I wanted to kind of jumping into the Arts KC.
Sure.
And so right now I'm actually working on that exhibit, and I'm creating, I don't know if people know about Arts KC, but it's a nonprofit regional arts council that promotes and supports and advocates for the arts.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
every year they have their luncheon, and they'll have a featured artist. They'll create this awards to recognize their leaders who have made a difference in Kansas City. So I'll be making these little centerpieces in addition to these 100 centerpieces in addition to the awards.
Mm-hmm.
So for more information about Arts KC, you can go to their website, artskc.org. And as you mentioned earlier, I am a twice recipient of their Inspiration Grant, and there is also more information on their website for other artists that are interested in receiving help and supporting their career.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, your website, if you would share that with our listeners, too, because we
yes.
you know want to encourage them to look at you know what we're talking about, the very beautiful sculptural element of your work.
Yeah, so on my website, you will see kind of a snapshot of my cycle of life, of my smaller wearable, my sculptural wearable, and then also kind of videos where I've been interviewed, awards I've received. But really, if you want to experience my work, you got to visit me at my studio
gosh.
In the Crossroads, which is a little bit more interesting, in my opinion, to see kind of the process and everything. And yeah.
Because, I mean, there is a lot of process to the work that you make, right?
Yes, it's very technical. It's a very additive, reductive process. So I will be basically melting metal, shaping to then growing metal. I fuse mm-hmm. a lot mm-hmm. through my process too with glass.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity is another medium I use to grow metal over my pieces. So everything's very unique and very special and very spontaneous in a way, even though it's a very technical, somewhat control environment too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does it leave room for mistakes in that, or happy mistakes, should I say?
I love happy mistakes. I
yeah,
really do.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
mistakes really inform my work
yeah.
and take it to the next level. And I've learned to accept those mistakes because it has happened that my pieces get destroyed. I've been working for it for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, definitely.
Well, and I did want to mention that Cheryl was commissioned to design a brooch for former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, and also has wall art collected by private organizations, including the Truman Med Center. You have participated in numerous fashion shows, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
It's when I first moved to Kansas City, I kind of jumped into this, I don't know, it was a little daunting, but it was my first time actually designing clothing and making jewelry, and I just wanted to create an image fully just on the body, and then I did so that was the 18th Street Fashion Show. Mm-hmm. I did KC Fashion Week. Truman Medical Center was another nonprofit that I mm-hmm. was part of, and they did in fact collect one of my pieces. If you go there, you will see this wall installation of these copper enamel pieces. So I've been engaged in the arts mm-hmm. Through gallery to runways, different outlets to put my work present to our community.
Also, I want to mention that you were inspired to create a new way of wearing jewelry, right?
Yes.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, actually, it's new to you, but very uh-huh. old for me. It's been actually 10 years that I've been working uh-huh. on this, and it was a photo shoot that I had in the desert, and I made these projections on the body, which I later translated into metal. So I call this tatouage, and it's jewelry adhered to the skin, and you can reuse it. So instead of wearing a necklace with a chain, you mm-hmm. have a piece of metal that is floating on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a link to that on my website, cherylieve.com, and there's tatouage jewelry as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful just to see it just sort of floating on a person's body, the jewelry. And we also want to talk about Art for a Cause, right?
Yes, Art for
Dear
a Cause.
Dear to your heart, right?
So this, Puerto Rico, I mean, not just, it's, I don't know, many of you know what's going on in our environment, and seeing Puerto Rico go through the sudden devastation through the Hurricane Maria, I've seen people suffering, and through my art, I created this necklace, which is the shape of an island, and I've been sending proceeds to the island to help people who still need water, who still don't have electricity or need food. And this will be an ongoing project for me to sending proceeds to the island and help those in need.
You know, so oftentimes we feel helpless in what and helping people to, in the world and all that. And this is just a wonderful way for you to respond to the people in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Puerto Rico has given me so much, having the opportunity to live and grow and develop as a human and culturally. It also fed my inspiration. And also my mom is another reason why I'm here. And she was there as well. And this is my way of giving back. And I want to keep doing that through my art and any other way that I can.
And for people who are interested in helping out or need more information about Art for a Cause, where can
Again,
they contact
you? That's on my website, Cheryllee.com. Okay. Love Puerto Rico. I also made these little tiny earrings, a shape of a heart. That could be another way you can support. So my goal is to be able to keep making those. And I just wanted to make a big announcement, if that's okay.
Sure, absolutely.
So part of the Woman to Watch Kemper exhibit that was curated by Barbara O'Brien, I got a letter by mail that basically this exhibit it's that the original comes from the National Museum of Women in the Arts. And I got a letter saying that I'll be, you know, representing the greater Kansas City area in 2018. And for those who don't know the National Museum of Women in the Arts, it's the biggest museum in the world that represents women. So this is like a really big deal to be among a selected group of artists coming from Chile, France, the U.S., all over the world. And it will be on exhibit, I think, starting June 20th until September 16th.
Wow, congratulations. So, we're happy for you.
Thank you. So
That's
I'm really
terrific.
Excited and thankful to the Kemper Museum and also I think Jeanette, she was one of our honorary chairs who made this possible and supported this organization, and also the National Museums chapter of the Greater Kansas City. I'm thankful to them and thankful to Arts KC as well.
Wow, that's terrific. That's huge. You know, and as you mentioned earlier about women sort of being on the short end of the stick, in my words, this is a terrific announcement to make. And, you know, we're so very proud of you and the work that you've done here in the Midwest, even though you're not really born here and all that. So thank you for, you know, sharing that information with us. So that will be in June that the work goes out.
Yes, in Washington, D.C.
Wow. Uh-huh. Terrific.
So if you happen to be in D.C., you'll see the exhibit and come support the women in the arts.
We love that, yeah. And Cheryl, Eve.com is the website?
Yeah, that is my website. Cheryllee.com or Cheryl Eve Acosta, that's my name. And my studio is in the KC Crossroads. And you're welcome to call me, text me, email me, stop by, give me a surprise. I love surprise visits. Yeah.
And we're going to look for you next month at the Arts KC Awards Luncheon.
Yes.
And that's going to be,
March 8th?
Thank you.
Yeah, at the convention.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And it will be from 11 to 1, and they're expecting over 1,000 people. So it is a big event, and it's a great way of recognizing the Kansas City community and leaders that make a difference through the arts and keep supporting the arts on a continual basis.
Well, you've made a difference, so thank you so much, Cheryl, for
your beautiful
work.
I couldn't do it alone.
Thank
you. Yes, I appreciate it.
Do you have any last words that you want to share with our listeners before we take a break?
You know, I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to thank all the loved ones I have, and I'm also grateful to all the people that I've met throughout my life who have helped me be here, and I'll tell my mom that I love you.
Oh,
yes.
We love her.
And well, my sister.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. You come back and see us, right?
Thank you so much. Looking forward.
Okay. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. And I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. This is Art Speak Radio. Thank you so much for making us a priority today. Next up, we have Sandy Van Tile. She's going to talk about 1,000 Footsteps, Tell the Story at the Carter Art Center at Penn Valley Community College. And we're happy to have her here live in the studio. So welcome, my friend Sandy.
Well, hello.
Terrific. Hey, we've had a lot of conversations via email, and so I'm so happy to meet you finally in person. But I think I met you at a panel discussion at the Kansas City Artists Coalition,
right?
That
is correct.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about 1,000 Footsteps, Tell the Story. What is that about?
Well, it started a year ago in response to all of the politics around refugees, immigration, etc. And there are so many valuable groups and organizations in Kansas City that help refugees. And we have more refugees than I think a lot of people imagine living locally. And it's humanizing a crisis that is on a level of World War II. We are in the largest humanitarian crisis since that time. There are 65.6 million people that are displaced right now. 22.5 million are refugees, and half of those are children. Mm. There is about 170,000 of those children that have no adult accompaniment at all. And about 1% come to America, are allowed into this country, and this is their voices and their journey story so that people can understand first the chaos, then the camps, then the new beginnings.
I just can't imagine, you know, with 1,000 Footsteps Tell the Story, it's an exhibition to show the journey story of refugees and focusing on those who now call the greater metro area home. And again, that's at the Carter Art Center at Metropolitan Community College, Penn Valley, 3201 Southwest Traffic Way. It took a lot to pull this together, right, Sandy?
It was. It was a collaboration. It was my first time. I'm an artist and a painter, but my first time to curate. And I've collaborated with a photographer, Julie Denishay, and an organization, Once We Were Refugees, Anne and William Say, and then a former refugee, Abdul Bakar, who is getting his PhD, but he paints on the side, and distilling this down so that we could represent the voices and the stories of these refugees. Julie uses large-scale photography to show the refugees. My work focuses on, again, the chaos and the information in the camps. And then Anne Say has sewing classes to teach skills and vocations. But as part of that, in the more professional group or the third group, they make a story quilt.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as she says, in three generations, they will be settled as American citizens in this country, but they won't remember these stories because many of these people don't have literacy in their background. So these story quilts tell in a visual way they're leaving, they're living in camps, they're coming to America, and all that was entailed with that. And we're telling that story for them. We can't have them telling it themselves because there is retribution involved if they have family still living there.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're being very careful with names and representing people as countries. But it takes it to a personal level so that people can kind of see the humanity in the situation and understand what's going on.
Yeah, it's very powerful to walk into that space and see the beautiful portraits of people on the walls and hear their stories and, you know, begin to connect the dots with how they arrived and what struggles they've endured and they still do. The exhibition runs, it opened last Friday, and it runs through March 8th, and then you have a series of artist talks that will take place, well, not artist talks, but different folks from the community to talk about their experiences.
Right.
And all.
What we found is we had so much excitement and energy around the show, and we wanted to represent the different agencies that are the UN High Commission for Refugees, vets, to help process refugees and living in the community, but also other agencies that just step up to the plate to give them a hand. And we need to let people know that all these valuable things are out there and the good they're doing in this community and they're doing for our neighbors. As a matter of fact, one of the speakers for this is a Maria Beck was Boyd and Miguel Morales, who are going to talk on the 22nd.
Well, I think, you know, together, the organizations that you mentioned, you know, they come together to help one another, you know, in this community. I know that for more information, I'll just put this out there, mccc.edu/pvart.
Yes.
Is the website. So yes. You can, you know, see who the speakers are, what nights, what location, and that sort of thing, because you've got quite a lineup.
We had more willingness than we had time, which was absolutely wonderful. But yes, we've got some lovely people tonight. Meredith Walfrin from New Roots for Refugees. If you go to local farmers market, you've seen this stand, and they provide plots of land. People grow because they have that skill set, and then they make money from selling at farmers market. So that's going to be an exciting one. And then next week, Abdul Bakar is going to speak on his experience as a refugee and then in refugee resettlement. And Ann Saney is going to speak, I believe, on the 15th about the quilts and the making of the quilts and just her experience with these people in the class that they have for teaching vocation.
In addition to the work that's on the walls in the Art Center, there's also a listing of organizations that people can tap into for assistance or for support or to help out. Della Lamb, the Jewish Vocational Service, Catholic Charities in Northeast Kansas, Rightfully Sown, Migrant Farm Workers Project, and KC for Refugees. So they've all come together to sort of support one another.
Right. And we structured the show as a journey itself. So you walk in with information, and it's such a big number, people have a hard time. When you see the photographs, you start to realize these are human beings. By the end of the story, you're going, how can I plug in? Or where can I find out more information? So that's where we have the websites, because that's kind of closes the loop. And we're finding that this is a far greater than just an art show. It's an educational piece of understanding the situation, but also how can I help? So we're presenting those agencies as a way for people to find a way in.
And Sandy, you mentioned you're an artist as well. So if you would share your website for folks for further information.
My website is Sandra Vantyl, V-A-N-T-U-Y-L. .com, and I'm painter, public artist, also an Inspiration Grant recipient in 2008.
Terrific, yeah.
So you can go there and see some of my work in public art and painting as well.
Well, thank you so much for curating this very important show, 1,000 Footsteps Tell the Story. The exhibition runs from February 2nd through March 8th, and for more information, the website is mcckc.edu/pvart. I would suppose Penn Valley Community College would have that listed on their website.
They do.
I mean, that is their website, but you know, if you didn't write everything down.
I think you can type Penn Carter Art Center. But I have to say, thank you so much, first to the Carter Art Center and the Friends of the Carter Art Center for supporting this and all shows so that they're free to the public and just doing a great service to the public
really
in general.
It really is, yeah. Very good. Thank you so much, Sandy. I know you'll be back.
Oh, yes, and I look forward to hearing you.
Terrific.
All right.
We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this.
Hello, this is Joseph Jackson, host of Cowtown Conversations, where we discuss matters that impact you as a resident of the Kansas City metropolitan area, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m., right after Democracy Now! Tune in for our next episode, and our guest will be Dina Newman of the Center for Neighborhoods. So tune in Thursday morning at 9 a.m., right after Democracy Now!
Michael. Natasha wants to know what's on the next Arts Magazine show.
Well, Boris, the Kansas City Ballet will join us and talk about their presentation of New Moves.
We can collude about the secret moves later.
Then later, our friends from the Westport Center for the Arts will be here and talk about their upcoming Brown Bag concert and a new play, The Moon's Language.
That's right. Always put the contraband in a brown bag.
That's Monday at noon, Arts Magazine show.
This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in or listening online. Next up, I want to introduce you to Joshua Smith, also known as Ghost. We're going to ask him, where'd you get that nickname, my friend?
Well, I got the nickname Ghost when I was 11 years old. My coach, he, because I played football all my life, mm-hmm. and my coach, he said, he was like, Bo, it's like I see you, and then I don't. He said, you're like a ghost. So he said, that's what I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you Ghost, you know. So ever since then, it stuck ever since. But I kept the name as I grew up because, you know, the more I got into spirituality, the more I realized I live by my ghost, which is my spirit.
Yeah, I love that. You know, and I want to tell folks that you write poetry, you're a writer, but you started writing poetry as a daily diary to kind of help clear your thoughts and see the world. Tell us about that.
Well, when I was 19 years old, I got kicked out of school. Mm-hmm. I got kicked out of school. I was on full scholarship, and I made some mistakes that, you know, I was forced to leave.
Sure.
But when I left, it was like that's when spirituality really started coming to me even more. And it's like the more thoughts I had about the spirit, the more I just wanted to write it down. So it was like every day after school, I just write down like what I was thinking today or what I seen today, and I just try to make it rhyme just to make it more fun for me, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it went from me liking it to really loving it. So
share something with us, would you?
Oh, I will. I wrote this poem about Earth.
Okay.
You know, so I said, I love my Earth. I love my mama. Her inspiration helps me handle all the drama. When I'm in spiritual trouble, I'll call on her. Dirt is the foundation and grass is her fur. We understand her, we'll know who we are. I thank the Earth for making me part of this rock star. If it wasn't for your love, I would have already flipped. I thank you again for making me part of this spaceship. Earth can be my hell or be my heaven. I'm just happy to be a part of natural selection. Everything is an accident. That's why everyone has a purpose. You stick by Earth's side, the reward would be worth it. Mama Earth's truth can be heavy like a excursion. Being born through you is being born from a virgin. You are my Mary and I'm your Yeshua. No queen on your land can ever outdo you. I love women because they are made in your image. I'm your Popeye and you are my spinach. You eat you up every day because I am what I eat. I thank you again for this spiritual feast.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love that in this write-up you say that your poem are not just words, but they're inspiration and motivation because you want to uplift people through your poetry, right?
Yes, because one thing I heard from Les Brown, he said he said, if you want to see the greatest mind, the greatest inventions, you go to the graveyard because it's full of people who have held themselves back in life and they have to die with their dreams. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, it just made me open up my thoughts and was like, do you want to be one of those people to really die with all the inspiration that you have inside? So I feel like it would be selfish of me to just use the inspiration for myself and not spread it to the world,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, today we need that inspiration. We need that, the positive sort of energy that you offer. You know, I want to mention that you have a blog site.
Yes.
Right? And where can folks take a look at that at?
Well, if you want to find my blog site, you go to wordswithghosts.wordpress.com and it has my 49 poems, actually. I have 49 poems. And then I have a video on there that I performed because I went to the Casey Juke House and performed one of my poems.
Yeah.
So it's all on there. Right now it's volume one. You know, so it's more volumes coming.
So how long have you been writing? When did you first start writing poetry?
Well, I was, you know, like 19 years old. That's when I started writing every day. It got to the point that I remember when I first started my poetry blog, I looked at my little poetry thing. I was like, I'm done. Like,
I've written everything there can be written.
Mm-hmm. So it's just full. Uh-huh. So, you know, so it just made me realize, like, dang, you can do so much more with it. So that's what made me come up with the blog site.
Are there any poets or writers that you are inspired by or that you like reading?
Well, I'm more of a person of, I'm a lover of music. So, one thing I noticed about poetry is just, it's nothing but music without a beat, you know. So,
I
grew up, you know, listening to, like, you know, UGK, 3-6 Mafia, like, just real, I call them, and like, I like to call them thug preachers because they've been through a lot of pain, but they turn that pain into success. Mm-hmm. So, I learned from them, and me not knowing who my original father is, you know, it had me seeking my father at a young age. So, just listening to different types of males in the world, you know, helped me find myself.
What do you have words of advice for people who are just beginning to write or thinking about writing? Do you have any advice for people that to help them get started or inspiration that you want to share?
If you want to write, I feel like you should just pick up a pen and just start, you know, because if you don't start, you know, how you going to finish? You know, so I just feel like you just pick up a pen and write, you know, because the pen is mightier than the sword,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you just keep going and just keep looking within and just try to find the ways to get better and better and never just stay the same.
Yeah. Do you have another piece that you want to share with us on the air?
Okay. One more.
If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Joshua Smith, also known as Ghost. He got his nickname from a coach because how quick he was on the field. Mm-hmm. And so he just kept the name Ghost, and we like that. So his blog site is wordswithghost.wordpress.com. So his poetry is there listed, and you can read his work there.
Well, this poem is called Within. If you want to find happiness, look within. You want to find wealth, look within. You searching for the answer, look within. Are you looking for passion? Look within. Are you looking for inspiration? Look within. You want to know the secrets of the universe? Look within. You want to know your history? Look within. Are you trying to block out haters? Look within. You want to be one with your spirit? Look within. You want to truly be wise? Look within. You want to reach success? Look within. Are you looking for a blessing? Look within. People getting on your nerves? Look within. You want to find beauty? Look within. You want to be number one? Look within. You want to be fierce? Look within. You want to be a leader? Look within. You want to know your divine mission? Look within. Looking within can be very hard. Stop looking for acceptance and you'll become a star. When it comes to life, there's never an end. If you truly want acceptance, look within.
Wow, beautiful. You know, there is such a large community of poets and writers and spoken word individuals and all kinds of creative literary folks. Do you find yourself at any of these events to kind of listen and look at other writers and kind of, gain something from them? Or
yes, yeah. The Casey Juke House was the first place mm-hmm. I went to, you know, perform, but right now I'm still looking because, you know, I'm not from Kansas, so it's just like...
Where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Texas, you know. Really from everywhere from the South because I was born in Louisiana, uh-huh. raised in Georgia and Texas, but I call Texas my home because that was the last place I was at. But, you know, I'm still looking around, still trying to find a way to share my poetry. And, you know, that's why I came to the radio because first time on the radio.
Well, you know what? And I'm happy that you said that. It was not really a segue. But I will say that, you know, KKFI, this is your community radio. You know, I'd like to have a wide range of creative people, literary performers, musicians, creators. Just all kinds of people here that really make up the Kansas City community. And so sometimes we have arts organizations and art supporters. We have well-established artists, professors, and all that. We want just a cross-section of who we are in the community here on the radio station because I always like to say that we're sort of the megaphone for the community. And I always invite people to contact me, you know, which you did, and contact me, to share your work, to share who you are mm-hmm. with the community. So thank you for doing that. Your blog site, I'm going to mention again, is wordswithghost.wordpress.com. And that's Joshua Smith, also known as Ghost. I love that nickname, by the way.
Yeah,
really,
thank you.
That's
thank
great.
You.
Do you have any parting words that you want to share with us before we sign off here?
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me. That's no
one.
And, you know, and just I just came to bring peace to this world. That's all I want to do. I just want to bring peace and inspiration to this world and make sure spirituality is the forefront of this earth because I feel like that's what we lack. That's what we lack on this earth right now is just inspiration and really finding true inspiration because, you know, it's a lot of people out there. They say they're inspirational or they say they're spiritual, but they talk one way and they don't walk.
Yeah.
You know, they don't practice what they preach. So
we love that. We love that about you, Joshua. Thank you so much for reaching out and sharing your work with us on air. We hope to hear from you soon, right?
Thank you.
You bet. And I want to say that rounds out another episode of Art Speak Radio. Thanks to Joe Williams, Cheryl Eva Acosta, Sandy Van Tile, and Joshua Smith Ghost. Next week is Valentine's Day, February 14th. We bring a special edition of Where Were You? And that's going to be Where Were You When You Fell in Love? Think about when you fell in love with literature or your significant other or a 57 Chevy, whatever it is, whatever you fell in love with. We're going to hear from contributors Susanna Lee, Lucky Deluxe, also another Lucky, Lucky Garcia, Quan Tracy Cherry, Chato Villalobos, and Rick Stacy. They're all going to be here to share where they were in love. Or something like that. Anyway, stay tuned next for Jazzy Afternoon with Jeff Harshbarger. I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. Rose, you stay well. I'll be over soon. And like us on Facebook. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Honey, I'm coming home.